Blog Talk Radio.
Attention! Army wives, fall in!
You're tuned to the Internet Talk Radio Show designed specifically for Army Wives, our life, our family, our soldier.
Brought to you by the Army Wife Network, interactive empowerment for Army Wives. It's Army Wife Talk Radio. Up to the minute information is right here with special reports, stories, interviews, and more.
Now reporting for duty, your host, the AWN Corps team.
Hello, Army family. Welcome to Army Wife Talk Radio, the internet podcast designed specifically for you by the Army Wife Network Corps team. This is show number 558, and I'm your host, Crystal Niehoff.
And I'm your co-host, Hope Griffin. Today is Monday, March 28, 2016, and we're glad you're here to hang out with us tonight.
Yes, we are. And the AWN Corps team is hanging out in Twitter chat tonight and having lots of fun. So if you're listening to our show live right now, come join us. You can ask questions of our guests, comment, and join in on fun conversations. Simply follow along at twitter.com/Army Wife Network using hashtag Army Wife to participate.
Tonight's show is brought to you by our Army Wife Talk Radio Show sponsor, TVP MetLife. While defending our nation, you can protect your family's smiles and save with TRICARE Dental Program. Enroll today. You can learn more at www.metlife.com/TRICARE or call 1-855-MET-TDP-1.
Coming up tonight on Army Wife Talk Radio, we have John Coogan, Executive Director of the Folded Flag Foundation, joining us to tell us about his organization and how they help military families. You can find the Folded Flag Foundation on Twitter at FoldedFlag.org, on Facebook at facebook.com/FoldedFlagFoundation, and their web address is www.FoldedFlagFoundation.org. Also coming up a bit later in our show is our Money Minute, so be sure to stay tuned for that. But first, we have some catching up to do with my lovely hostess with the mostest, Hope Griffin. What's been going on in your Army Wife life lately?
Well, last time I was on the show, we talked about duct tape a lot. We talked about my car that was duct taped together. So I finally found one. So yay, that's not held together by duct tape. So that's good.
Zeal. So what did you get, if you don't mind me asking?
I got a Town and Country minivan.
Ooh,
I'm officially
nice.
A soccer mom without kids in soccer.
I know. I love my minivan, though. I don't know how I hauled kids around before it, without it.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I wanted to give a shout-out to USAA for my minivan, too, because I was so overwhelmed. Like, I've been driving this duct tape car since Thanksgiving because I just hate spending money, and that's a lot of money. And I hate shopping, and that's a lot of shopping. So we found on USAA's app where you can go in and type in the car that you're looking for, and it pops up all the ones in the area. So we figured out what car we wanted. We found it before it ever hit the lot. Like, it was a used car. And we called, and they were like, we don't have that car. And they're like, yes, you do. Look again. And sure enough, they had it.
Oh, that rocks.
It was wonderful.
Cool. I need that.
It made
app.
It so simple.
I didn't realize you could do that. Well, that's awesome.
So that's my I Love USAA moment tonight.
Yay. Well, that's cool. And that makes car buying so much easier. I mean, when you know what you want, you can just go right in there. I hate car shopping.
It's so stressful.
I used to like to drive the cars around, but the problem is the cars that I want to drive around, like, you know, the sports cars and the fun stuff isn't stuff that we're looking at buying. So
right.
I have to reserve myself to the minivans and the family cars, which is fine. I'm grateful. but it takes a little bit of the fun out of driving the cars around.
Yes, I don't like shopping. I'm strange. I want to know what I'm getting and just show up, get it, and walk out.
You know, that's what I like about shopping online. You know,
yes.
It's like you can kind of shop at your leisure, and I'm not a mall person. If I go to a mall, it's usually just to walk and get exercise when it's not, you know, the weather's not very good outside. And I'm just not a shopper, which my husband loves that aspect of being married to me, but I'm just not a shopper either. I just maybe sometimes for window shopping. He's probably more of a shopper than I am. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
My husband's the same way. I'll go stand in the dressing room and he'll just throw things in there over the top to me and be like, try this on. If he's not with me, I just go to the Target sarcastic t-shirts in the men's department and I just grab one that'll fit and leave. I'm dressed a lot better when he's not deployed.
Oh, that's hilarious. I love that. That's like my son-in-law. He dresses my daughter, and she's kind of a fashion, I don't know what you call it, fashionista, you know, herself anyway, but he's got like really great taste, and she'll kind of get something that maybe isn't really flattering on her, and he'll, I don't know, this will make you look great, and 9 times out of 10, he's right on. So, yeah, men they often know what looks good on a woman, so kudos to them. My husband usually just sits out, like if I'm at the mall, he'll go sit on a bench somewhere. Inevitably, you would think that as much as we move around, we wouldn't run into so many people that we know, but inevitably, you'll be sitting out there waiting on me to shop somewhere, and somebody will come along that he knows, and so I'm coming out there, and he's sitting with a couple of guys just chatting away. I usually find out, though, when their wives come in and say, hey, Crystal. So we start chatting in the store. So anyway, I guess I'm probably dressed better when my husband's sitting on a bench outside of the mall store talking and the wives come in. Oh, Crystal, that's not your color. So how was your Easter?
It was good. It was busy. I work at a church, at First Presbyterian Church in El Paso, and Presbyterians do Holy Week, so it's services all week long, every day. So it's been a busy week, but it's been a really fun, enjoyable week too. So, but today I had the day off, and I just kind of hung out at home and wrote and enjoyed a quiet house after all that activity.
Well, that's awesome.
How was your Easter?
Well, we were a little bit unconventional this year, surprisingly. We decided to take a trip down to San Antonio. And we spent the weekend in San Antonio and went to SeaWorld. And,
well, that's fun.
Let's see. What else did we do? SeaWorld was great. The last time my husband went to SeaWorld, he was about 11. And he got lost and spent most of his time at SeaWorld at guest services while they tried to locate parents. So this year we prepped him, the kids and I. They're both 11 too, but we said, you know, now you've got a cell phone. If you lose us, you can call mom and she'll answer. And So my husband being funny was like, well, if you and your mom get lost, you can call me. And I'm like, right, you never answer your phone. It's always turned off and it's, you know, silent or vibrating. He never hears it and never feels it. So, you know, I kind of have to wait for him to realize I'm not there. So we had just a momentary lapse where we lost him for just a little bit. And so he finally found us. And it wasn't deliberate. I thought about it. But it wasn't deliberate. And so he got to spend the day with us at SeaWorld and not at guest services. So that was awesome. But I was really surprised. The shows were great. I had so much fun. We go to SeaWorld, and have you been there and seen the pet show? I can't remember what it's called.
I've been to the one in Florida. But it's been a while. It's been a couple of years.
Went all the way to SeaWorld thinking we're going to see sea creatures, and we saw a pet show with dogs and a rat and cats and birds, and it was great. I would have gone
wow.
again. You know, like the rides, you just keep going through. I would have
yeah.
gone again, but we decided to see some sea creatures, so...
Very cool.
I loved that show. It was great. That was probably my favorite, strangely. So, anyway, and then, so what else is going on in your life? Anything else? You usually have a pretty busy life.
Well,
I know,
yeah,
it's like we were talking. Oh, go ahead.
It's been busy. We've had a lot of stuff that hasn't been so great that has happened in our family, in our community here, that is just sad. And so we spent a lot of time just kind of chilling, I guess, is the right, and grieving and being there for each other. And I guess one great thing that's happened, I can't share all the details because, you know, we're on air, but it's been a really hard couple weeks. And it's just been awesome how the military community and just the community we're in here, the homeschooling community, our church family, they just kind of wrap their arms around you and love you when you're going through some hard times. I especially like my Army Wife Network core team and how I've been able to, like, really talk to you guys and lean on you guys. It's been very helpful.
Aww,
and so it's just nice to be in a community and not to have to do stuff on your own, because I guess we're always lying to ourselves about how awesome and resilient we are, but when it comes down to it, there's a lot in life we just can't handle alone. So it's just nice to know that you have
right.
somebody. So,
well, we love
that's
you.
That's why
both.
We haven't been busy. You have news, don't you?
No, well, we're waiting on news. This week we're supposed to find out if my grandbaby is a boy or a girl. My daughter is. Kill me. I can't remember how far along. I think she's like 18 or 19, maybe 20 weeks.
I couldn't remember that
That's
when
terrible.
It was me.
Way back when I was having babies, we counted in months. That was much easier. You only had to remember
right?
a new month every 30 days. Now it's like
yeah.
weeks. In probably 10 or 20 years, it'll be days.
Right?
But we'll be finding out the gender this week, so I'm thinking it's a girl or a boy. I don't know. I change my mind every day. My daughter will say, what do you think it is? And it's a girl. And then the next
well,
day,
the odds are
no,
good, 50-50.
I've got it either way. It's a
yes.
baby.
Yay.
And we're pretty sure it's only one, so unless the other one was hiding at the last sonogram. We're pretty sure it's only one this time, so.
Okay.
So,
that's
hopefully next week I'll have that announcement to make. I'm sure everybody's waiting with bated breath. Is it a boy or a girl? So,
I am.
I'm so excited.
Is she doing a gender reveal? This seems
yes,
to be.
But she hasn't clued me in on what that is.
Oh, we never did those. Did you ever do those when you were? I just announced.
No.
It's a boy. It's a girl.
Well, back when I sound so
back
old.
In our day.
Back when I had my daughter, they would say, well, it kind of looks like it could be a girl, or, but we don't know. We can't really tell until the baby's born. So even though you kind of might know, we didn't really know, and that wasn't really a big thing to find out back then. So
yeah,
usually my guesses were right, but I always had a boy's name and a girl's name picked out. So baby showers were usually gender-neutral clothes and everything, unless
yes.
you had it after. So, yeah. I guess things have changed, so it'll be fun. And they are going to surprise me, not only whether it's a boy or a girl, but how they decide to tell me. So...
Facebook has changed the game on how to tell people.
Yes,
it's a boy or a girl.
It's a big deal. And it's not Facebook, or it's not official until it's Facebook official. So until they get that on Facebook, it's not officially a boy or officially a girl. So that's what I've been told. But it's time for a quick break. Up next on Army Wife Talk Radio, we'll share some hot topics this week, so stay with us and we'll be right back.
Continue your education at an elite university committed to service members and their families. Drexel University offers active duty, veterans, and their family members a 10 to 40% tuition reduction for over 140 online degree programs. Get an inside look at what it's like to be part of the Drexel online community through a free digital test drive. Military family members will be able to experience online learning, explore student support services, and interact with Drexel faculty, staff, students, and alumni. Visit online.drexel.edu/family to sign up today.
If you're stationed away from home, how can your voice be heard? Get your absentee ballots on time wherever you are. Here's how. Go to fvap.gov and fill out your federal postcard application, or FPCA. Go to fvap.gov to get started.
You're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio Live, an interactive talk radio program for Army Wives by Army Wives. Call us and share your story. Now, back to our show.
Hot in military news tonight, Army to pair National Guard and Reserve units with active duty units. Some Army National Guard and Reserve units will pair directly with active duty units beginning in the summer to integrate the part-time soldiers into the regular Army to prepare them for better combat, the Army announced Tuesday. The pilot program, called Associated Units, will establish formal relationships between the reserve and active components, allowing units to train and eventually deploy together, said Major Olivia Nunn, an Army spokeswoman. Read more about this news story by going to stripes.com/news/ Army to pair National Guard Reserve units with active duty units, or find the link on our Twitter feed that we'll be posting shortly.
Okay, so what was hot on Army Wife Network this week? This one hits close to home for me. Do you worry about the strangest things? Experienced blogger Lisa Walters does, and she knows she's not alone. In this column, she shares with us practical tips for dealing with worry from an expert worrier. You can find this at armywifenetwork.com/practical tips for dealing with worry from an expert worrier.
I'm pretty sure I'm an expert worrier myself.
I know I am.
Last but not least, it's social media roundup time. Not to brag, but we really do have some of the best graphics around. It's kind of a collaborative effort. Graceland is our awesome graphic artist, and then the core team get together and come up with a lot of the quotes and stuff. Did you happen to see the one that said, "Live today like he deploys tomorrow"? It's not always easy, but yes, we should. Do you have a positive quote that you use with this military life? share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or just email us.
So last but not least is our public service announcement. Do you or your business have a military-related PSA? We limit it to one per show, and we ask for them 10 days in advance to info@armywifenetwork.com. Today it is Helping Heroes Fly, Reuniting Military Families. Helping Heroes Fly is a nonprofit 501c3 organization founded by two women who love the military and found a way to help our service members. The mission of Helping Heroes Fly is to provide airfare to enlisted military personnel to be home with their families for holidays and other important events when they cannot afford to purchase the tickets themselves. Helping Heroes Fly is funded solely through donations. To fill out an application for airfare, to donate, or to learn more about Helping Heroes Fly, you can visit their website at helpingheroesfly.com. So that's it for our PSA. Coming up next, after these quick commercial breaks, is Army Life Network's News 6 Gen, bringing you the need to know stories. We'll be right back.
While defending our nation, your active duty service member can protect their family's smiles with the TRICARE Dental Program, TDP. It's dental protection that's deserved. This dedicated military service entitles spouses and/or children and members of the National Guard or Reserve to receive comprehensive dental coverage. But don't forget, TRICARE dental coverage requires enrollment. TRICARE medical program options do not include TRICARE dental coverage. Call 1-855-MET-TDP1 or visit us online at tricare.mil/TDP.
The Breastfeeding Shop is an authorized TRICARE provider for breast pumps and accessories, shipping to all of the USA and worldwide for TRICARE. The Breastfeeding Shop specializes in helping the military moms get the best breast pump possible and prides themselves in providing the best customer service possible, as well as a very quick turnaround time. Check out their easy-to-use online ordering form on their website at www.thebreastfeedingshop.com or call toll-free 866-255-6779. Also visit the Breastfeeding Shop on Facebook and check out the rave reviews from other moms at facebook.com/thebreastfeedingshop.
Are you looking to reach military families worldwide? Do you have a product or service to offer our listeners? Advertise with the Army Wife Network. AWN has many advertising options specifically designed to reach our military families. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com for details.
You're listening to the AWTR Live News 6 Report.
Our life, our family, our soldier, news you can use.
Now, with our headlines, it's our own AWN News 6.
Good evening, Army family. This is your News 6 Gen, bringing you all your need-to-know news. The Pentagon is planning to send more combat troops to Iraq. The Pentagon will likely send more troops into Iraq in the coming weeks to support operations against ISIS militants in Mosul, the military's top officer said Friday. Marine Corps General Joseph Dunford, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, said that he and Defense Secretary Ash Carter will recommend to the White House the U.S. military footprint there as Iraqi forces undertake a complicated, large-scale offensive to oust ISIS from its stronghold in the country's north. We have a series of recommendations that we will be discussing with the President in the coming weeks to further enable our support for the Iraqi security forces, Dunford said during a press briefing. The Secretary and I both believe that there will be an increase to the U.S. forces in Iraq in the coming weeks, but that decision hasn't been made. Currently, the U.S. force level in Iraq is officially capped at 3,870. Dunford said the decision to send more U.S. troops would be focused on what is it we need to do to maintain momentum in the in the campaign, and what specifically do we need to do to enable operations in Mosul? The Army has delayed cutting an Alaska-based airborne combat unit, citing continued threats from Russia and North Korea. In July, the Army disclosed plans to cut 2,600 soldiers from the 4th Airborne Brigade Combat Team, 25th Infantry Division, stationed at Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson in Anchorage. The cuts were part of a downsizing of roughly 40,000 troops across the service. In February, Army Chief of Staff General Mark Milley told the Senate Appropriations Defense Subcommittee he wanted to delay the reductions at Elmendorf-Richardson by at least a year. Milley, who visited the base earlier this month, told the committee members that it would be contrary to U.S. national security interests to go ahead with the planned cut at this time. In a statement issued soon after the hearing, committee member Senator Dan Sullivan said, "The 425 is the only extreme cold weather and mountain-trained airborne brigade combat team in the entire U.S. Army, and the only one strategically located to respond to threats in the Asia-Pacific and the Arctic." The Army did not specify a length for the delay. Military families and therapists are worried about expected cuts to autism care fees. On April 1st, TRICARE will cut applied behavior analysis therapy reimbursement rates by as much as 15%, with a second rate cut planned in some locales next year. Some families are alarmed. Some ABA businesses are enraged, and some advocates for special needs children forecast an access to care crisis. TRICARE officials see no such crisis in the offing and hold firm to the rate cut plan. They do so despite receiving two complaint letters this month from members of Congress urging postponement of the rate drop until the autism care demonstration ends in December 2018 and results are assessed. The letters echo arguments of family advocates and the growing ABA therapy industry that a pair of studies ordered by the Defense Health Agency, on which rate changes were to be based, failed to capture accurately how TRICARE reimbursements stack up against commercial insurance rates. Douglas McBroom, manager of the autism program for the TRICARE Policy and Benefits Office in Aurora, Colorado, said the new ABA rates have a goal to align reimbursements to what Medicare might pay, because by law, Medicare is the yardstick TRICARE is required to use in setting rates for health services. Because of the plan cuts, several ABA providers across the U.S. have stated that they will continue to support current patients who rely on TRICARE for insurance, but will not accept any new TRICARE patients, while others have stated that they will cut current patients that carry TRICARE as their only form of insurance. That's all the news for this week. Stay tuned to Army Life Network's Twitter feed and Facebook page for updates throughout the week. This is your News 6 Gen, signing off.
Operation In Touch offers special savings, coupons, and editorial content tailored to the lives of our active military families, providing useful beauty tips and recipes, as well as news and ongoing promotions. Operation In Touch is sponsored by Unilever and its brands, serving as a resource for American military families who serve this nation each and every day. As a member of Operation In Touch, you'll receive exclusive offers and savings on Unilever products you know and love. Registration is easy and free. Simply visit OperationInTouch.com to sign up today. And be sure to like us on Facebook.
You're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio live here on the Army Wife Network. Our live show is broadcast every Monday night. Join us in our live chat room at blogtalkradio.com/AWTR. Missed a live show or just can't make it? Don't worry, AWTR is available in archived format 24/7 via our website, www.armywifenetwork.com, or on iTunes. It's interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Crystal Niehaus.
And I'm your co-host, Hope Griffin. With more than 20 years of experience in the nonprofit and technology sectors, John Coogan brings invaluable experience and expertise in strategic fundraising planning, fundraising infrastructure management, donor operations management, and fundraising data analysis to the Folded Flag Foundation as executive director.
John earned a bachelor's degree in computer science from the United States Military Academy at West Point and a master's degree in business administration and information systems management from the University of Texas McCombs School of Business. He recently completed the executive program for nonprofit leaders at Stanford University, and we're pleased to have John join us tonight. Welcome, John.
Thanks very much. I'm pleased to be here.
John, please take a moment to tell us a bit about yourself and where you're calling from tonight.
Great. I'm calling from Jacksonville, Florida, where we're headquartered here at the Folded Flag Foundation. As you read, I'm a former military field artillery officer, Gulf War era veteran. I was injured back in 1994, transitioned out of the military, went back to school, and then kind of started my private sector career before getting into nonprofit work, serving military families.
Very cool. Can you tell us about the Folded Flag Foundation, when it was established, maybe a little bit about the founders? And what
sure.
the mission is?
Sure. Folded Flag Foundation was founded in 2014 by businessman Bill Foley, who's a West Point alumni, class of 67. He founded the organization and built a board of trustees that consists of a lot of his classmates, essentially in memory of his fallen classmates. The class of 67 lost the most in Vietnam. And Bill is very supportive of military families and education and wanted to start a foundation that basically paid it forward by being there for surviving military families that are moving out of the military and facing a new challenge in life in the private sector post-loss.
What makes the Folded Flag Foundation unique from other organizations and foundations that support children and spouses of fallen soldiers?
So Folded Flag Foundation, like a lot of other organizations, we provide support to families, to spouses and children at all ages, K through post-secondary, through educational funding. And there are a number of organizations that do similar work. What makes us different is that our approach is not necessarily about the funding itself, but it's about embracing the family after they've suffered loss and kind of being there for them, using education as a cornerstone to help ensure their future. So for us, that means really three things. First, we want to focus on the spouse and help her obtain an education so that she or he could establish a career and more effectively provide for the family. I tended to say she because 97% of surviving spouses over the past 20 years have been women. And what we found is a lot of these spouses, as you probably well know, give up opportunities for education and career to essentially manage the family while their spouse is deployed and as the family is moving from installation to installation. So we see the first order of business is to get the spouse in a position where she or he could provide for the family. At the same time, what we try to do is put the kids on a path towards college or post-secondary education by supporting things like after-school programs, private school, individual tutoring, and other specialized programs. The idea there is to walk alongside them, be kind of an assistant to the spouse as she's pursuing her education or her career, so that these kids have the best chance possible making it to college. And then finally, as they get to college, we want to be there with them through funding and other assistance to make sure they graduate and are positioned for a career in their own right.
So it's a very holistic type approach then.
Yes,
where
very much so.
You start from day one and follow them all the way through.
Yes, so the idea is we look at the family and the foundation of the family is the number one priority for us. Educational funding is a part of that, but we also broaden our impact through partnerships with other organizations that will provide complementary services that may not be in our wheelhouse, like grief counseling, peer mentoring, that sort of thing. We want to be sure they're as comfortable as possible as they pursue their own future in honor of their fallen parent and spouse.
Very cool. So in all of that, what would you say personally for you would be the most rewarding part of the experience?
For me, it's serving military families. As I said earlier, I rotated out of the military back in the mid-90s because of an injury and really didn't have the opportunity to pursue my full-time military career like I had wanted to. So to get back into a veteran service role and be able to help families transition, I've worked with wounded families and I've worked with surviving families. It's very important for me. I've lost a couple of classmates myself and some friends. I've seen others injured. And for me to see children prosper and families prosper as a result of our support is very much rewarding.
That's wonderful.
I expect that with this also there would come challenges. What would you say are some of the challenging aspects of working with Boulder Flag Foundation?
Yeah, I think the challenges. So I've been in the veteran service business for about 10 years. As I said earlier, serving military families, and a lot of the challenges I had faced in the past had to do with funding and use of funding, and how do you guarantee maximum impact to the families that we set out to serve. And what I love about Folded Flag Foundation and the reason I ultimately joined here is that we're 100% underwritten by two organizations, Black Knight Financial and Service Link. So as far as the funding impact goes, 100% of all donations go directly in the hands of the families by way of our educational scholarships, which for me is, you know, always a bigger challenge, is how do you minimize the amount of money you're spending in providing services so that you can maximize impact. So that was the biggest challenge, and because of the way we're situated, it's basically set up properly for us to be able to maximize that funding impact. Other challenges, you know, when you start to work with families and talk with them about loss and talk with them about some of the challenges they're going through, things that you may or may not be able to address specifically or simply through funding, it becomes challenging to be able to work with them and you know, understand and kind of relate to what they're going through. So it's through our partnerships with organizations like Tragedy Assistance Program for survivors, A Soldier's Child, and some of the others, that we're able to kind of round out our services and be able to expand kind of our support network to allow for these families to prosper. And as I said earlier, deal with some of the things that they're dealing with in and above just financial challenge.
So that was my next question for you. What organizations that Folded Flag works with collaboratively, and I know you mentioned a few just now, would you mind mentioning them again and telling us exactly what it is and how they work with you?
Sure. So what we're trying to do is we're identifying organizations that provide non-educational support to families. Tragedy Assistance Program for Survivors, Bonnie Carroll is a colleague of mine and somebody that I really respect, and her work and advocacy on behalf of spouses and children. So we partner with them to be able to refer some of our families over in case they need things like grief counseling and peer mentoring. A Soldier's Child is another organization that celebrates birthdays for children who lost a parent in the line of duty. And they also do other things like experiential camps and that sort of thing. There's a number of other organizations that provide some level of scholarship funding that we'll work with as well. Freedom Alliance, No Greater Sacrifice, to name two. And then, of course, we also partner with educational institutions to essentially give us the comfort that when we're sending our families onto campuses, that these educational institutions are embracing them, understanding what they're going through as they're moving through campus, providing additional funding and resources on campus, and kind of just being there for them as a home away from home as these children are kind of moving through their educational process.
Very cool.
Now, you mentioned that 97% of surviving spouses are women, and that come through your organization, and then that you also kind of help direct kids on a path towards college or secondary education. Why is support for the education of spouses and children of fallen heroes so important?
So we believe it's important for us. If you think about and when I signed up to serve back in the day, you know, the last thing I was thinking about was, you know, the potential of me giving my life for this country. You know, I served out of patriotism and I wanted to be a part of the military and protect our freedoms and all of that. But you know, when you go through loss or you experience loss of a friend or a family member. I think one of the most important ways to honor the legacy of that person is to kind of guarantee the future of the family. Education, obviously, in this country, rising cost of education, the rising unemployment rates, the difficulty for the current generation of kids coming out of college to actually get jobs, makes it that much more important for us to stand alongside these families and put these kids in a position where they can get a job and a career and kind of carry on the legacy of their parents. So, you know, we see education as a cornerstone of that. And, you know, it doesn't have to be college. It can be trade school. It could be some specialized certification course. And really our goal is to help these kids get employable, give them a foundation for success in life.
I love that. That really is a wonderful way of honoring our fallen heroes, is to make sure that the family continues. Now, isn't there sufficient funding through, like, the U.S. government through scholarships and other awards? What kind of brought you to seeing that there is a need for a foundation such as Folded Flag Foundation?
So there is definitely funding available, a lot more so in terms of support now than 20 years ago when I was coming out of the military. There's two programs specifically that focus on educational funding for post-secondary. One is called the Frye Scholarship for post-9/11 families, and then the other is the DEA Chapter 35 Scholarship for pre-9/11. And while they do a great job in providing a certain level of funding support, they don't cover the entire gap between total cost of college and the funding that's available. So the Folded Flag Foundation has come about essentially to help close that gap, not only in the amount of money that we provide, but in the types of things that we cover. What you don't see out of the government now in the VA is a ton of support or flexible support for K-12 education. So that's one of our core areas of focus, as I had said earlier. And then with spouses, there's funding available, but there's not as much funding available for things like daycare and after-school programs to remove some of the distraction from the spouse as she's pursuing her education and career. So we see a gap. There's definitely some things that we can do to help round that out and to close that gap. And we feel strongly that it's through the nonprofits like Folded Flag Foundation that we can ensure that these families are 100% taken care of.
So does Folded Flag have any specific fundraising goals or award goals for 2016 and beyond? And if so, what are they?
Our primary objective is to find and connect with families, and that's, I think, the first way that I could ask you and your network to help us. You know, we're all connected to the military, and we know that pride can get in the way of a lot of things, including asking for help or maybe admitting that you need help. You know, we want to become a trusted resource for families that are rotating out of the military post-loss, and we want them to understand that we're here for them. So spreading the word among military communities and letting people know that we're here and letting them know that we're willing to help and that 100% of what we raise goes towards that help is probably my number one priority in talking with you tonight. We have kind of calculated our need. We're in our second year. Last year, we granted 13 scholarships. This year we're going to probably grant somewhere in the neighborhood of 35 to 40, and we're going to hopefully grow in the amount of support we provide over time. Our long-term goal, based on what we're seeing in terms of children and spouses that have been left behind, is to raise $100 million over 20 years, so about $5 million a year is what we would like to be able to raise through corporate partnerships and donor relationships and things like that, to be able to basically cover all of the need that we estimate is there for these families.
That's amazing. So our listeners, are just real fast, I want to put this plug in. If you want to help the Folded Flag Foundation and the legacy of our fallen heroes, get a hold of them and donate or find out other ways that you can get involved. But first, John, we have to take a quick break. So when we come back, let's talk about scholarships. Don't forget the AWN core team has some great discussion taking place in our Twitter chat and some great questions. If you have a question for our guest, please go to twitter.com/ArmyWife Network and use hashtag ArmyWife to participate. We'll be right back with more Army Wife Talk Radio in just a moment.
Finding a career that's right for military life has its challenges, but CareerStep offers a great solution. Thanks to MyCAA funding, military spouses who qualify can complete any of CareerStep's courses for a variety of healthcare careers with no out-of-pocket expenses. CareerStep even includes a laptop at no additional charge for most programs. With online courses you can fit around your schedule, CareerStep offers the flexibility required for a military lifestyle. It's a great way to train for rewarding, in-demand careers whenever and wherever you are. Visit careerstep.com/military to learn more today.
Authorized users, joint accounts, credit reports, and you. This is a Money Minute from In Charge Education Foundation and MilitaryMoney.com. Joint account or authorized user. What's the best way to add another user to your credit card account? If you simply want to allow the use of your credit card, naming the other party as an authorized user could be the best way to go. With this arrangement, the second user can spend using the account but has no financial responsibility for the account balance. The second option is to name the second party as a joint account owner. As a joint account owner, the second party can be held financially responsible for the account. This could give instant credit, either good or bad, depending on the account history, to the newly named user. Anything reported on the account will appear on both credit reports. For this reason, it's best to think carefully about the true spending habits of both users before taking this step. This Money Minute is made possible by InCharge Debt Solutions. Visit us online at www.incharge.org.
Want more? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers discussion boards, military family resources, Loving a Soldier blog, and much, much more. Tell your friends about AWN with our interactive tools. Visit us online at ArmyWifeNetwork.com. ArmyWifeNetwork.com, interactive empowerment for Army wives.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking with John Coogan, Executive Director of the Folded Flag Foundation. Before we went to break, we were talking with John about the Folded Flag Foundation, its missions, and its goals for 2016. John, how many scholarships has Folded Flag Foundation awarded to date?
So our first year of scholarships was last year. We awarded 13 scholarships for a total of $130,000, actually just under $140,000. And this year we are on track so far. We opened our enrollments on March 1st, and the enrollment period will stay open until May 15th, and we've already gotten about 20 applicants, and we expect a lot more. So this year our goal is to award somewhere in the neighborhood of $330,000 to $350,000 in scholarships.
Oh, that's amazing.
So we're in scholarship application time right now.
Yes, we are. Mm-hmm. Since March 1st.
Okay. So when did you say May 15th?
Yes, May 15th, we'll close the scholarship period, the formal scholarship period. We are relatively flexible, though. We want to work with families. So throughout the year, if there are families that come to us with unique needs or off-cycle needs, we will have a conversation and determine if we can help out.
Great.
And when do you generally begin accepting scholarship applications for the year?
So we open. So March 1st is the open day for the scholarships. The enrollment form online, and there's also a downloadable one, is pretty straightforward. We don't want to overwhelm anybody as they're applying and identifying need. So it's a straightforward application, and we'll spend the better part of the enrollment period reviewing, gathering documentation, talking with the families, with the idea of awarding the scholarship sometime in the June timeframe. And we'll split that scholarship into two separate checks, one in June, July, and then the other in the January timeframe to kind of carry these families through the year.
Okay. Other than coming on our radio show, Army Wife Network, how is the Folger Flag Foundation raising awareness about its mission?
So the biggest way, you had mentioned earlier as you guys were talking about the importance of community within the military environment, and that's really something that is the baseline of how we're approaching our awareness building. We want to spread our brand awareness and spread our message across the country, community by community. That's important for us for a number of different reasons. The first is it allows us to show our families in their areas that they're surrounded by people and businesses that are committed to their future. I think that's an important thing for these families who are once military families in a military community and now transitioned out into a civilian community. It also provides our supporters with a way to interact and get to know some of the families that they're supporting through their gifts. And then, of course, through building partnerships with organizations that deliver community-level impact to the families, we're broadening, again, the effect of our support on the families, and that's important to us. We're not about national marketing and fundraising efforts. We really want to connect with the families at the community level and connect with the supporters at the community level. So that's basically the way we've been doing that. It also allows us to keep our costs down, which is very important for us because we do want all the money that we raise to go to these families.
Now, how can Army wives such as ourselves, Hope and I, and then, military spouses or families spread the word about the Folger Flag Foundation?
I think the best way would be within your own military communities as you're interacting with people, just kind of identifying to them that we exist and we're here. I think it's always a difficult conversation to have to talk about the potential for loss of a military spouse, but in as much as we all want to be prepared in life, I think it's important for people to know that we are around, and especially to families that may have experienced loss that are connected still with the military before the transition. The more you can do to let people know that we're around, the better.
Are there ways that groups, like for instance, I work at a church, there are ways that churches could get, or Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts or any of those kind of groups to get involved and support?
Yes, what we're doing, and there's with this in mind, we've created something called our Carry the Flag event series, which allows individuals to host fundraisers or groups to host grassroots events, with the primary purpose of raising awareness, but also a secondary purpose of raising money within the community and connecting supporters to families. There's going to be some information going up on our website soon, which outlines the Carry the Flag event structure and how people can connect themselves into that. So stay tuned on foldedflagfoundation.org for that information.
And what do you feel that the future holds, or what do you hope that the future holds for the Folger Flag Foundation? What's maybe some of your plans or visions for the future?
Well, I think, so my primary hope, honestly, is that there's no need for Folger Flag Foundation. We don't obviously like to have to prepare for potential loss, but as long as there's conflict and as long as there's deployments and continued overseas efforts on behalf of our military or on behalf of our country, we want to be sure that we're raising enough money, raising enough awareness to be able to provide 100% coverage for these families through educational funding. And that's our primary goal. And we want to do so without introducing redundancy, without taking away impact of the donor dollar. There's a lot of great organizations out here that are their intentions are good in terms of supporting families, but I think it's through partnership and it's through careful communication and effective planning that we can ensure that we're always delivering the highest level of impact to the families.
Right. Now, where can our listeners go to find out more? If you could just give us your website or any other contact information one more time.
So the best way, and from our website, you can get a lot of other information as well. Our website is www.foldedflagfoundation.org.
Great. Well, thank you so much for being on tonight. We appreciate you taking the time out of your evening to come on and tell us about the Folded Flag Foundation and how we can get involved. And we do hope that someday that there's not a need for this, but we thank you for your service to the military family and doing this.
It's my pleasure, and thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it very much.
Have a great evening.
Oh, you too. Thank you. Take care.
And thanks so much for being with us tonight. Join us next week, April 4th, 2016, and I cannot believe it's April already. Where's the year ago? We're featuring attorney Elizabeth Steesom to talk with us about tax breaks for hiring vets and other useful tax information for families. So you don't want to miss this, especially with the filing deadline right around the corner.
In the meantime, you can join us at armywifenetwork.com to stay connected to resources, information, expert columnists, and share the journey with many of our experienced contributors. Or you can follow along on any of our social media outlets, such as Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
Interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. This is Army Wives Network Core Team signing out. Have a great week.
The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week for another informative edition of Army Wife Talk Radio.